Okay, we're good to start. Okay, our first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. So I move the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion of the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for January 26, 2017, January 26, 2017 executive session, and February 9, 2017 executive session. So I'd like to move the approval of the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Excuse me. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the public comment. We'll begin with Laura Halverson. Okay, Ms. Halverson, welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you for having me. My name is Laura Halverson, and I'm with the disability rights group DC Metro Adapt, and I depend on WMATA to be an active member of the community. Thank you for accommodating our group today for public comment. I'm here because our group has a problem with WMATA's budget plans to raise fares, including Metro access, and cutting service hours, and how that will affect people with disabilities. We also have issues with the opening of the Pentagon City Tunnel without wheelchair access. Our first issue is cuts to scheduling. It's our understanding that WMATA is still proposing cutting hours to 10 p.m., which would affect people with disabilities' abilities to work nights, socialize, attend nighttime education classes, higher paying jobs, religious activities, you name it. I've heard WMATA's response is that people can just take an Uber instead during non-service hours. Well, Uber has a long-standing history of discrimination against the disability community. Most cannot take Ubers since they're not wheelchair accessible in Maryland or Virginia, and there's a very limited number in D.C., and they charge surge prices. That's just not an option for us. The next issue is raising fare rates for customers. Many people with disabilities are often on fixed incomes. Raising the fares would harm many disabled people's ability to do daily activities in the community. Many people in the D.C. Metro are already having a hard enough time making ends meet, and raising the rates on customers will only make matters worse. And that should be out of question, to raise rates to Metro access, which is already too expensive for many of D.C.'s residents. We at D.C. Metro Adapt are demanding a meeting with Jack Evans and ask the board to delay decisions on the budget and the Pentagon City Tunnel until a plan can be agreed upon that won't negatively affect D.C. Metro's most disabled citizens. Thank you for letting me speak today.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next person to speak is Elizabeth Heidemann.
Hi, I'm also with the disability rights group DC Metro Adapt. So people with disabilities are traditionally among the most underserved communities, and yet for us, public transit is a lifeline. The reduction of rail, bus, and Metro access service hours from 12 a.m. to 10 p.m. would be absolutely devastating to our community and our ability to work, to attend night classes, and really just to take part in the social fabric of DC. And to make matters worse, as Laura mentioned, the lack of accessible vehicles in Virginia and Maryland make using alternative ride-sharing services impossible for many of us. These service cuts, in addition to planning the Pentagon City Station Tunnel that will not be wheelchair accessible, makes us feel extremely undervalued by WMATA. So I would like to ask that Jack Evans meet with DC Metro Adapt to address these issues. And then I would like to ask that the board delay your decision on the budget cuts and the Pentagon City Tunnel until a plan can be agreed upon that will not negatively impact the disability community so much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. Next witness is Linda Mercer. Not witness, public comment. Linda Mercer, is she here someplace? Oh, okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
To address the board, and I always come to these hearings, and I sit back and think it, and I like to address, when we talk about changing policies to cut different things for the cost, but But at this point in time, with the different policies and things that Metro has come out with, we have workers that are totally stressed. And my thing is, how do you feel safe having people come to work on a daily basis that not knowing whether they're going to have a job tomorrow? Because that's all we keep hearing is the threats. We're going to fire you. We're going to fire you. We're going to fire you. And this is not only from the frontline workers. It's from the management also. So when they're being threatened that if they don't do certain things, and you have good operators out there like myself, when I sit back and I hear them talk about that the question was asked earlier about ridership on a bus. As a 16-year operator, I have not seen cut in a ridership yet. And on a daily basis, I'm on lines from D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. I work what is called the jumper. But what I do see is at a given bus stop where we could have 30 people board the bus and only 10 people pay. That's not fair to the 10 people that do pay when we're talking about increasing the fares. Also talk about the poorly ran system by managers before. Now it's coming in, this Metro is ran by businessmen, businessmen and women. Before, it was ran by managers that just had a title as a manager. So they were put into those positions and still currently have no training of how to treat the workforce. If you don't treat us good, then how can we go out and be productive out in the public? And these are the people that we're carrying. So on a daily, I do not see short fares. I just see it from them not paying, even at the stations. When I walked through the station today to come through here, you had 15 people walk behind me, just walk through the gate. Nobody says anything to them, and we can't say anything to them on the bus. As a shop steward, I get plenty of calls of operators being assaulted, being spat on, being punched. So we can't say anything, and then the threat of your job, of having your job if you do stand up. So I thank you for allowing me to come to address the board.
Thank you very much for your comments. Our next public witness is Kingsley Floyd. Welcome to Metro.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kingsley Floyd. I'm a member of the D-Staffed Metro Group. Sorry, here to talk to you today. Access. Here to talk to you today about the access, but with disabilities in the DC metro area. I'm sorry about the microphone issues. We are not the active members, but we represent 1 in 5 Americans and 20% of the population. We also employ jobs. Personal care assistance, aides, other employees provide jobs and services. In that regard, when cutting the hours and raising the fares, you do not allow those people to come to work for us and be employed. They lose income. We lose income. We lose services, and we can no longer perform to the best of our abilities in the community. Also, by not creating fully accessible train stations in the 21st century, you are breaking laws and codes provided by the ADA. This is not acceptable, and we should strive always to be accommodating to all people with disabilities. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. Next, our next public witness is Cora Leibowitz. Welcome to Metro.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carol Leibowitz. I'm with the disability rights group DC Metro Adapt. Last month, I moved to the DC area from my home in New York, and one of my primary reasons for moving here was the accessibility of the public transportation system. All Metro stations are wheelchair accessible compared with less than 1/4 of New York City subway stations. Because of my disability, I don't drive. Living here allows me to live in my own apartment and get around independently in a way that would have been impossible had I stayed in New York. That's why it's so important to me that Metro hours aren't cut. I rely on Metro to get around. I live, work, play, and socialize just like you. I should not be subject to a de facto curfew that is even earlier than Metro's current closing time. I demand that the WMATA board delay their budget cuts until a plan can be agreed upon that does not adversely affect people with disabilities, and that the board set up a meeting with DC Metro Adapt to discuss these issues. I just found my freedom. Please don't take it away from me.
Okay, thank you for your comments. And finally, Doris Ray. Welcome, Ms. Ray. Oh, I skipped over somebody. I'll get right back. Go ahead, Ms. Ray.
Good morning, Chairman Evans and members of the WMATA board. My name is Doris Ray, and although I am a member of the Accessibility Advisory Committee, I come here as an individual this morning. I am a member of DC Metro Adapt, and I support their stand that we should not be cutting services while at the same time increasing fares. Instead, although I understand the need for SafeTrack, we should be ensuring, if we're going to be limiting Metro hours and have shut down service, that there is enough bus service so that people who with disabilities and other low-income people and moderate-income people can get around in the community. And that means don't decrease the bus service so that we can get around Fairfax County, where I live, Arlington County, where I work, in Alexandria, and the region. Also, however, I came here to speak today, importantly, on an item that's on your consent agenda, and that is to make an agreement with Arlington County to open the Pentagon City tunnel, pedestrian tunnel. That pedestrian tunnel has been the subject of comment by the disability community in Arlington and in Northern Virginia for years now, with the concern that that pedestrian tunnel, which will bring you from one side of Hayes Street to the other side where the mall is and where the metro, main metro station is, will not be accessible. It will not have an accessible entrance. You are forcing people with disabilities in all weather to cross a very large street, and you are worried about the safety of the citizens, pedestrian citizens, but not people who use wheelchairs, people who are blind like me, who have to come across that street. So either make it accessible or make plans to make it accessible and then open it. But I want to remind you, not just a matter of the ADA, because I read your board item, but it's also a matter of the settlement agreement that opened the elevators in 1976, that put the elevators in, Dick Hedinger's settlement agreement. That settlement agreement calls for pedestrian tunnels like the ones throughout Arlington, if they're going to open new, to be accessible. And that settlement agreement was in 1976, and this tunnel was built in 1984. So please consider that and meet with us about that.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Alexander Van Hook. I am a member of DC Metro Adapt. As you can see, I'm a person with a disability, and I am here to ask the board members to please delay the budget decision that also affects the City Tunnel and ask Evan to meet with the people of the community to discuss a better solution and to come up with a better solution for the raised fares. I am currently a college student at Auburn University, and I am heavily affected by the transportation I heavily rely on it, and I hope that everyone seriously considers a better option that can accommodate to the people in the community, especially those with various disabilities. I believe that we can all come together and work together and engage with positive intentions and come with a solution that benefits for everyone. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your input and your comments. I want to thank all the public witnesses for taking the time to come down and address the board with your concern. We always appreciate them very much. And I will make myself available to meet with your group. The Secretary Jennifer will set up that meeting. Yes.
This is the first I've heard about this tunnel. So at the next meeting, can someone tell us what this tunnel situation is?
Okay. It's on the agenda today, so maybe somebody can do it today. Okay. Why don't we get to that when we get there? So let's go on to the next item is the report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee. That's Mr. Sheehan. Mr. Sheehan, welcome to Metro.
Good morning. Where's my money? Oh, there we are. Good morning. Appreciate being here. I appreciate the fact that Mr. Evans is going to meet with ADAPT. I think that's an excellent move. I think part of what they are asking for, we echo the concerns on the A. Wanted to start off with a couple of good news items. The first being that the on-time performance for the Metro Access, which we are watching each month, jumped from about 80% to 86%. So I think that's a good indication that perhaps processes that are in place are improving the on-time performance. We will continue to look at that. The second thing that AAC has been involved with is the use of whiteboards within the rail stations to promote two-way communication between folks that are deaf and the station attendants and station managers and all that. And we appreciate that. That has been implemented WMATA-wide. That was a request that the AAC had put through. Our board did support and staff supported, so thank you very much with respect to that. You've heard comments today with respect to the buses, limiting bus service, its effect on Metro Access riders. The AAC is in agreement with the comments that have been made today. We are very concerned about reductions in bus service. We are even more concerned with the fact that bus services that will be, if they are eliminated, will affect Metro Access riders that depend on a fixed route system so that they can have Metro Access available to them. It's something that we want to specifically look at the results of any cuts in service, particularly in the Prince George's County area. So we are going to urge the board to ensure that cuts, if they are made, will not impact people with disabilities, and I think you've heard some of that today. We also are concerned about, with respect to the liability waiver process for people with disabilities participating in safety drills. I would like the board to take another look at some of the proposals that the AAC has put forward so that we can participate in safety drills while making sure that the equipment that we use, particularly wheelchairs, if there is damage, that it doesn't fall on the backs of the disabled person to have their wheelchairs repaired. So I think there's room for discussion. I think there's room for compromise with respect to that moving forward. If we can come to some kind of compromise, I think that would be good. And then lastly, I think with respect to Metro Access, as we have indicated in the past, looking at the fare structure, looking at perhaps implementing twice the bus fare as a way to pay for Metro Access rides in the future, I think would be useful. According to statistics that that I heard yesterday online and within the board meetings, Metro Access service requests have gone down. Metro Access funds have increased, so that I don't think Metro Access is going to be the service that's going to really bankrupt the system. We're not seeing that right now, according to the statistics that I most recently was able to take a look at. And then lastly, with respect to Metro Access, and at least in the fixed route service system, you have past plans, service plans that allow for free rides, and we're looking that we can implement a same kind of pass system within Metro Access that is implemented for frequent users of the bus system, very much like the Select Pass system that's out there right now. We would like to be able to develop a plan, move that forward, and have it available for your inspection. But I think that the services that are allowed for the fixed route system should be passed on to Metro Access riders as well. That's my report for this morning. I thank you for your attention. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Sheehan? Seeing none, Mr. Sheehan, thank you very much for your comments.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Our next item is the report by the Riders Advisory Council. This would be Ms. Silva.
Good morning, or good afternoon, rather. Chairman Evans, members of the board. I am here to give you the report from the Riders Advisory Council on behalf of Catherine Khartoum, who has been selected our new chair for the year. That this happened just this past month. My name is Lorraine Silva, and I am the new Virginia Vice Chair. Since our last meeting, we met on Wednesday, February the 1st, and we have now our full contingent, as all our Virginia members were appointed. We planned discussions with, discussion with board members Corcoran and Lobby were canceled, but as neither was able to attend the meeting. The committees were selected and were appointed this past meeting. We have the Customer Service Committee, Programs, Projects, and Planning, the Budget Finance Committee, and the Safety and Security Committee. We discussed the content of a letter authored by the Budget and Finance Proposal that contained direct feedback on the FY18 budget proposal, and after suggesting minor changes, direct voted to approve the letter that was delivered to WMATA board on Monday, February the 6th. The leadership committee met by conference call on Monday, the February the 4th, and we've had our first committee meetings to create our work plans. For our March meeting, we plan to hear WMATA staff responses on our budget letter, and each committee will also be outlining its work plan for the remainder of the year. That's it for the month. If you have any questions.
Okay, any questions for Ms. Silva? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Ms. Silva, for your report. Next item on the agenda is a report by the chairman. So, again, good afternoon, and first on behalf of the board, I would like to thank our customers and stakeholders for providing their input on Metro's proposed FY18 budget. At the Finance Committee this morning, we were told that we had nearly 11,000 survey completions, 3,100 written comments, and approximately 80 people to speak at the public hearing. Your participation in the outreach process tells the board that these matters are important to you and that you care about the health of the Metro system. And for that, we are thankful, and we look forward to your further input as we go forward. Based on your feedback, the general manager and his staff will provide the board with a summary of your feedback and then present his revised operating and capital budget proposals next month at the February 9th meeting. As the general manager said earlier this week, Metro is fast approaching a tipping point. The financial outlook is not good, and the FY18 budget will be a reality check. We heard this morning that management is working to close a $125 million shortfall in this year's budget, and we're facing a $290 million shortfall in next year's budget. We as a region have no choice but to come together and put Metro back on the road to financial stability. The general manager is doing his part to increase efficiency and reduce costs while also restoring the safety and reliability of the system to build back our ridership. So I look forward, as does the board, to continuing these conversations with the region. And that concludes my remarks. And next, I'd like to turn it over to our Chief Operating Officer, Joe Leader, for our employee spotlight.
Good afternoon. Today's spotlight recognizes three employees, Metro Transit Police Officer Joanne Dilt, Station Manager Larry Adams, and Rail Supervisor Claire Finellis, who each played a critical role in saving the life of a Metro Rail customer at Braddock Road Station. The incident occurred just last month on July 31st, and the very next week, Alexandria Fire Chief Robert Dubay called a press conference to recognize our employees as well as a good Samaritan who came to the man's aid and because of their quick action saved his life. Do we have it? Okay, let's see if the video works now. We have a video to go to. It's not working? Okay. Well, first, I would like to thank the media who did show up to this event and promoted the good actions of not only a good Samaritan, but our three employees. And what our employees did, in summary, was to do what we should do. Anytime anybody becomes disabled like that and collapses and appears to be having a heart attack, they called 911, they began CPR, and if there's an AED available, use the AED. And they did that until the fire department did show up on the scene and transported this individual to the hospital. And it is great to be able to say here today that we have another Metro rider who will once again ride our system because of the actions of our employees. At this time, I would like Officer Dill, Station Manager Adams, and Supervisor Finellis to stand. If you go up to the flag, we would like to present you with a token of our appreciation.
Okay, our next item on the agenda is the report by the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee, and that's Mr. Augustine.
Thank you, Chairman Evans.
The following two items were referred to the board at the February 9th meeting of the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee. The first being Grosvenor-Strathmore Joint Development Agreement and Waiver of Use Regulations. The committee authorized the following two actions related to joint development at the Grosvenor-Strathmore Metro Station. One, staff authorization to negotiate and execute a joint development agreement for the Grosvenor-Strathmore Metro Station, and two, a waiver of Metro's use regulations at Grosvenor-Strathmore to allow for a pilot station enhancement program. Mr. Tramman, could I get a motion for approval?
Motion for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Discussion, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. Let me speak up in favor of this project. This is a great project for Montgomery County, and it's going to be a great project for our Metro as well. It will provide at least 530 housing units, perhaps as many as 1,000, close in, right on the red line, adjacent to the Grosvenor Station, which means a lot of potential riders, a lot of potential riders for Metro, which if you were here this morning, you know we need. The other great feature, as Mr. Augustine mentioned, is that it provides for a pilot program where we're going to allow the developer essentially to create pop-up facilities that will sell food, sell drinks, sell other facilities in the afternoon. And this will be a great thing. Now, this project will come along in spurts because it's first subject to approval by the Montgomery County Planning Board and the County Council. So approval on a governmental level won't come until the fall of this year. And then the first stage will feature an addition to our parking garage at Grosvenor, which may take a little time. And then once that's completed, the spaces, over 400 spaces on the surface lot, will be used to construct the 500 to 1,000 new housing units. The pilot program is very important because adjacent to the Grosvenor Station is the Strathmore Music Center in Montgomery County, which features concerts in the evening. And the staff has a great deal of flexibility in waiving this use restriction to allow that kind of pop-ups, food and drink, to be used by patrons at Strathmore in the evenings when there are concerts, so that people can come off the red line, people can sit down, buy something to eat, drink, and be entertained there for a few hours. It's going to be kind of like a tailgate party in advance of concerts at Strathmore. And all this is going to be possible by the board's action today and the waiver of our very historic use restrictions, which don't allow the consumption of food, beverage, or other activities, commercial activities on metro property. So this is a good step forward. I endorse it, and I hope the board will pass it with flying colors this afternoon.
Okay. Any further comment? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second matter that was before us is the College Park Joint Development Agreement. The committee authorized the following two actions related to joint development at the College Park University of Maryland Metro Station. One, staff authorization to negotiate and execute a joint development agreement with Gilbain Development Company, and two, authorization to conduct a public hearing on the removal of a 530-space surface parking lot at the College Park University of Maryland Station. I would note that in anticipation of joint development at the station, Metro constructed a 1,290-space parking garage at College Park, which opened in 2005. Mr. Chairman, could I get a motion for approval?
Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, thank you. Anything else, Mr. Augustine?
Nope.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is our consent agenda. There are three items on the consent agenda. A is the approval of the Pentagon City Connection Agreement. Staff is requesting approval to negotiate and execute a connection agreement between Metro and Arlington County for a county-owned pedestrian tunnel at Pentagon City Metro Station. Arlington County will own, operate, and maintain the tunnel at its expense. Second, L'Enfant Plaza temporary art installation. Staff seeks board approval through the Art in Transit program of a temporary and art installation by, Yayoi, I don't want to butcher this name, but Kuzama Design Studio at the L'Enfant Plaza Metro Station. This installation is in conjunction with an upcoming exhibition of the artist's work at the Hirshhorn Museum. Finally, Silver Springs Penguin Rush Hour mural. Staff seeks board approval for two actions: reconveyance of the original Penguin Rush Hour mural to Montgomery County, and approval to accept on loan a newly fabricated version of the mural for installation and display at the Silver Spring Metro Station. So I'd like to move approval of the consent agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, we'll move on to reports by the District of Columbia, myself. I have really no report. So I'll move on to WSTC. Ms. Harley?
No report.
NVTC, Mr. Corcoran?
No report.
And the federal government, anybody here?
No report.
Carol, over here. No report. Okay. Seeing that, if there's no more business to come before the board, the meeting's adjourned.